Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about talent, we talk about the psychology behind showing up. Because the truth is, a lot of people aren't lacking potential. They're terrified of visibility, terrified of rejection, of judgment, of failure, of success, and really afraid of being fully seen. And nowhere does that get exposed faster than performance, whether it's acting or speaking, podcasting, creating. Eventually, your mind becomes the thing that is standing in your way. God did not give you gifts just to bury them under the fear and the self-sabotage. Today, we are talking about performance psychology, imposter syndrome, rejection, and what it takes to stop getting in your own way. Today's guest is Dr. Albert Bramante. He is a longtime talent agent and psychologist helping performers overcome the mental roadblocks that keep them from fully stepping into their potential. Albert, take me to a moment in your career where you realized that talent alone wasn't what separated people who actually made it from the people who stayed stuck.
It's one of the things when I first started as an agent, 20 some odd years ago, I was under the impression that all an actor had to do was just be motivated, show up, and book the role, and we'd all be
That was
set.
it, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't really work all that well all the time. So the one thing that I kept running into, and I was like banging my head against the wall. Was why were so many actors almost imploding? You know what I mean by imploding? Self-sabotaging. And what I mean, to make that in context, what I and the way that I'll reframe it here would be getting in their own way, not showing up for auditions, being late, being unprepared, being difficult on set. Whatever that looked like, and I was running into that a lot in the beginning of my agent days. And when I looked at that, it was something that was really just kind of disturbing to me, like what is really going on here? So I then had to put on my other hat, which was scientist, psychologist. So I was just at the same time as I was doing all of this, I enrolled into a PhD program and I said, you know what, I'm going to do my dissertation around this. Because this is something that was really affecting my business and other people I talked to too, would always say the same thing, like, why were these actors really self-sabotaging? And what is really going on here? So that's sort of like where I, started here. And that's when I realized, you could have the talent, you could have the drive, but if you're not working in the mindset, it's not going to work. Like, there's so many actors that I've seen that when they were in a scene in their own power, they were,
Awesome.
talent. They killed it. It was amazing. But yet, when it came time to audition, I was watching almost another performer where I was like, well, where is this person? That I saw in stage, on stage or on screen. And that's where I come to the conclusion. It's different auditioning and performing. They may look the same to someone who may not be in the industry, but they're two completely different skill sets.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I love that you kind of called out the patterns too of like what the self-sabotage looks like. Because I think that travels across any arena that we're talking about.
Of course.
Is just that like showing up late, not having everything together, not being prepared. All those little things definitely I feel like add up to all of us not stepping into our f full potential. Why do you think, Albert, that some people just freeze the moment that they start getting attention?
Well, it's got to do with fear. It's got to do with, your own limiting beliefs. And this is going to go a bit, and I'm sure you know this, with the two levels of mind, we have the conscious mind, which is what we really desire, but then our subconscious mind, which is really the control room of our being. And that, if you haven't really aligned with validation, with your own limiting beliefs that maybe things you were told when you were a child that you might think you that were not important, but still are. You know, and so that starts to add into your subconscious mind, and you start to believe that you're now in, you know, automatic, you start to go in automatic pilot, the fear starts kicking in. And our brain, which is an amazing brain, by the way, is designed to keep us alive and keep us comfortable and to keep us,
Yes, it's doing its job,
it's
baby.
doing its job, and it
Yeah.
does a great job at keeping us alive.
Yeah.
However, may not be the most optimal thing. You know, the same threats that we experienced, you know, thousands of years ago don't affect us today.
Yeah.
Our brain still operates the same way as it did thousands of years ago. It's doing its job, yes, it's keeping us alive, but it can sometimes keep us from moving forward, to keep us from thriving. Because when something is new to us, you know, it's scary. It's perceived as scary. And our brain says, okay, scary, not good. Okay, comfortable. Let's make this person comfortable. So then it starts, you know, we start to, in our conscious mind, thinking, okay, well, maybe this appointment is not really worth my time. You know, I'm too tired. Oh, let me give the person a head, you know, let me, the subconscious mind, let me give the person a headache. Let me, whatever it is, keep them distracted. And so that's what, you know, we start to overthink and we start to come up with reason or excuses, and I use excuses in quotes, as to why this is not going to work or why this is not a good idea. And when it's really fear, just kind of
Running
talking,
the
you know,
show.
and running the show. And until we focus on that, you know, we're going to still stay in this thing because it's great to be comfortable. I mean, we all love being comfortable. I love being comfortable too, but there's a trade-off. And we're not going to expand. We're not going to grow. We're not going to put our ideas out there. And, you know, to even kind of go what you were saying, even in your trailer, about how a lot of times we have the Google Docs open for months that we haven't moved forward on it. I'm guilty of this too. You know, so I can't, you know, really sit there and without pointing calling myself out too. You know, we sit here sometimes on ideas for years. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that probably never get to express their wonderful ideas, which could have been not only great for themselves, but great for everyone else. So, and a lot of actors are just sitting on their talent and they're not using it to where they can be. And we could say the same with podcasters, with or future podcasters that never hit record because they're worried about, well, do I have the right microphone? Do I have the right, you know, script? What am I going to say? And the truth of the matter is, you could have had a lot to say. And I think a lot of times we squander our talent away because of staying comfortable, because of staying alive. And one of the things we have to work on, I think all of us, myself included, and is to override those signals, to sit there and say, okay, you know what, this is scary, and it's okay to be scared. I think unrealistic. Like, I'm also not a fan of toxic positivity where, oh, it's going to be Pollyanna and great. No, this crap can be scary. This is going to be scary. But however, we're going to get through this and we're going to face the fear. And that's where courage comes in. And a lot of people think, especially maybe in pop, you know, pop psychology thinks, okay, courage is the absence of fear. No, absolutely, that's not true.
That's not true.
Courage is actually being, actually admitting it and going through it. Like, I may be terrified, you know, but I'm still going to go through it. And I think, and even having an open conversation like this, okay, it's okay. It's okay to be scared. You know, it's natural to be scared. And I would be concerned if you weren't, you know, at some point, at some things. So I think it's all about being able to work through our fear and push through it, and rather than shrink and hide and say, okay, I need to be absent of fear. You know, I need to record when I'm ready, or I need to audition when I'm ready. You'll never be ready
Ready
if
never
it
comes.
ready never comes. And that's one of my blogs I wrote last year. The title is Not Ready is a Lie That We Tell Ourselves. We're not ready, and it's a lie.
And it is,
Because
it is. It's that, it's a security net, it's a safety net. And Albert, I run into that all the time. Because that's
so
where
I.
people are like, I want to start a podcast. And a year later, they're like, tell me again how to start. And I'm like, yeah, no, ma'am. You just sat on this for a whole year.
I mean, and
So.
even for me, like the, it's like I want to do this, I want to do that. And I remember one time I even run through ChatGPT, and I think that even got tired of me saying, okay, look, just get,
But
put
do
your
it.
cell phone on, get into a closet, and just start talking.
Yes.
And that's where I was like, well, okay, I could do that. And so I think a lot of times we're so obsessive over the little details. And the thing about it is, we're never going to get anything we do, we're never going to get it right the first time.
Right.
We're going to grow over time. And that's what I tell actors. I'm like, there's going to be auditions. There's going to be times where you're not going to be your very best. And instead of beating yourself up from that, where can we learn from that? And that's where I always say failure is feedback.
Yep. Everything is data. Everything we're doing is just that data. And I love how quite a few times, Albert, you have brought it back to like you're calling yourself out too. And what I love about this arena is that, myself included, we only know because we've been in the battle. Like there's no way these conversations would be impacting my audience like they do if people didn't understand. Like we're there. And the only reason I know about imposter syndrome is because I deal with imposter syndrome, right? So that's what I get to talk about with you guys. And the only reason I know that, things like you're talking about that fear and courage, I can say 3 years into podcasting, 700 plus episodes under my belt, I still get scared. I still get scared. I still get super nervous. I still am over. I still get imposter syndrome. I'm like, wow, it's been 3 years, and how come I'm not, at a million downloads? Because so and so is, right? Like it's all natural. But what happens is like I don't stay stuck there, right? I'm not like, okay, just pack it in. You're not at a million. Pack it in.
Exactly. And I was at a, I actually went to a podcast conference last year, Empowered Podcasting in Charlotte. And the one thing that really stood out to me was how many people pod fade, which is, they don't get past episode 10. And someone had said, like, if you just do 10 episodes, you're almost, are in the top,
Yeah.
50%, because most podcasters, and I've seen that too, where I'm like, I will go on to like Apple. I'm like, this looks like an interesting podcast. And I click on it, it's like three episodes, and it was made in 2023, and it's 2026 now. So I, and that's where I think we have to understand is we're not going to be perfect. And the same thing with actors, like, and this is relevant to even podcasters. I think there's another mistake or trap is self-comparison.
Oh,
Is,
for everyone.
when we compare ourselves to others, what, whereas, like, for example, I'll get from actors sometimes pitches like, I'm the next Denzel Washington, I'm the next Meryl Streep, and I'm like, no, I'm not interested, because I don't. We already have a Denzel
Yeah, we
Washington.
need
We already have a Meryl
a new
Streep. We don't
face.
need that anymore. We need
Yeah.
you. And I think a lot of times people podcast, so you look at people like Joe Rogan, or Diary of a CEO, and the big ones that have millions of downloads, but they also have millions of dollars in their budget, and they've also kind of already had lives outside of podcasting. So I think the important thing is to just be consistent and show up. And that's another thing too, like a lot of things that I've found with the actors is the ones that are persistent every day. I when I started, there's not a whole lot of actors that are still here from when I started, in 20, 22 years ago. Most of them either, leave the business because of maybe health, or they get other jobs, or they just run out of money and that's it. And some of them are incredibly talented, which is sad because they could have made it. And there's a lot that's been written about this, and I firmly agree with this, is sometimes people quit right before they're about to take off.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fear. And I also think that there's a fear of moving forward, a fear of success. Now, I can tell you, a couple of examples here. I had an actress when I first, this is what really I think catapulted my into really looking at fear. When I first started, I had this actress who was great looks. He had like a rocker vibes. He had really a good, she was great energy, very passionate, at least from what it seemed. And she would went on these little auditions. Well, I finally got her secured for a large, it was a series regular role. It was like something that would have been a total game changer. And I remember an hour before the audition was supposed to take place, she sends me a voicemail with just simply, "I can't do this." And I never heard from her again. And I don't know what happened. I haven't seen her name, so I'm assuming that she left the business, but it just woke me up. I'm like, why would this happen? Another actor that I used to work with, very clean cut male, very very booked a lot of commercial in print because he was very, attractive by, conventional standards. And I wound up landing him an audition was at the time when soap operas were popular. It was a 3 year contract role, an audition. That would have been another game changer. The morning of, he calls me up and says, "I really don't want to do this audition. The character is too feminine. I'm not a feminine man." And I'm like, "That's why it's called acting." And he wouldn't handle it. Wouldn't have it. And I think, of course, my psychologist hat went on has nothing to do with the character's femininity. Maybe his conscious mind came up with that idea,
Of course.
but his subconscious mind was thinking, "Oh boy, here comes a life-changing role." And I think sometimes when we get close to something, our brain goes, "Oh, I don't know if you could, but oh blank, I'm getting close here, and I need to pull back." And so that's when it becomes too real now. And that's where I also believe another thing that's powerful is fear of success. Is actually the fear of being powerful. Marianne Williams had said it the best, that what terrifies us the most is that we're how powerful we really are. I mean, I'm paraphrasing that, but that's sort of the gist of her quote. And I believe that, and I think a lot of us, that's also keeping us in this hesitation mode is, well, what if we do blow up? What if we do? Our lives are going to change. What are the relationships that we're going to be in? What's the identity now that we have to embrace? So, and I think that is something we have to have conversations on with people is, okay, what is really going on here? Because when you say fear of success, most people are going to think, I don't have fear of success. That's what I want. Consciously, yes, that's what we all want. But if you haven't, are you prepared for it is another conversation.
It took me a decade to realize that's my core issue because I would think like I've messed up, right? Albert, I've failed. I've done a lot of I'm not afraid to fail. I have rebuilt my life 100 times over and then I'm like, "Wait, why have I had to rebuild? Like what is the deal?" And it is that fear of success was so loud. I'm still processing through that. I still catch myself in these moments of like being afraid to be that too much or too much responsibility and what does happen. And I have to baby step myself through this process because this will literally be the first time I did not sabotage from fear of success. So I'm in it. I've had the oh shit moments like, oh shit, I'm close and I still think about it and I'm like, okay, are you taking your foot off the gas because it's the right thing to do or because you're genuinely afraid that this is the moment? So
And though that line is very blurred,
Oh, yeah.
and I think that is something we have to have more conversations on,
Yes.
because consciously your brain will come up with so many reasons why this isn't right, and they are plausible. But in reality, is this really what's going on here? And I think a lot of times we sit here and think we're not ready. I mean, myself included, I published my book on self-sabotage in 2024. I'll tell you, that was a goal of mine to 2018, because I was sitting there on my and I started thinking, well, what if I get bad reviews? What if, what's this? What's that?
All of
I
that.
can't do this. And it turns out that if I didn't push myself and say, okay, enough of this chatter, I would have been sitting here in 2026 saying, yeah, I think I want to write a book. And so, I was just really dragging my feet. And sometimes we have to hold ourselves accountable and say, okay, you know what? Just do it. Just go ahead and
Just do it. And I think if you think about, like, really, what is the worst thing that can happen? If you really logically take yourself and your body through that conversation of what is the worst thing that happens? I'm going to get a bad review. What does that, how does that affect me? That
right.
opinion. And I just feel like it's, as creatives, why do you think, Albert, that creatives are so vulnerable to that self-worth struggle? Because that's what it ends up coming down to.
Well, and I also kind of think there may be a reason why we became creative. There may be a reason why we went to performative, work because of something that maybe we were lacking as a child. I remember I was watching, one of the early iterations of Screen Actors Guild Awards, and one, this actor was being comedic. I forget his name, but he came up and he said, I don't want to hear you telling me how wonderful your childhood is, to your fellow actors, because if you've had a wonderful childhood, you wouldn't be an actor. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense
It does.
on so many levels. And I think that's sort of like where, we're seeking that validation, from that, and I don't want to pathologize every, because every actor is different. Not every actor has a, trauma in their lives, but many do. And I think that it has to do with that. It has to do with things that are not resolved. It's estimated that one in 4 people has had at least one traumatic event, one childhood trauma event in their lifetime. And that's like a general, a
I think we
conservative number.
gender, yeah, I think you're being very, very conservative.
I It's actually maybe one in two or one in three. Everyone has had an adverse childhood reaction, and like one in eight has had multiple. And that's a large number of people. And most of these go unresolved. Again, because we can push them away out of our mind consciously, but we don't, they don't leave. And that's the thing, they don't leave. And they sneak up on us in different ways. And one of it could be, the validation thing, chasing it, but also fearful of it too.
How much of success do you think is actually emotional regulation?
At least half, if not more, at least half, at least half. And the same thing goes with actors, because, of course, I work with one of the most oversaturated markets. I work with one of the, most competitive, actors are in the most competitive field, I think, out of all the career fields out there. But, performing arts is the most competitive and the most brutal. But I also think that if you strip away, if you look at the actors that are successful, it's not they're not more talented. I mean, I've seen some really highly talented actors just go down in flames almost, and I've seen some mediocre talent, and that are thriving. And it's like, okay, well, it's not that, it's not talent, and it's about having a system, having a a solid, footing, and the mindset and regulation that are able to push forward and move past the thing, the blocks that are holding them back.
It's that resilience, I think, is so important. It's who's willing, and so many people, I've had these conversations when I've been in rooms with women, and they're like, she's not even good, like she's not even that good, she's not even that talented, like why is she doing better than me? And I just think, because she's willing to get in the arena and get her ass kicked, like she's willing.
Yeah, I'm like, well, because she's here and you're here, and that's the thing about what which I think it come when it comes to coaching is there are times where it's, yeah, we should always be respectful, but there are times where we need a good swift kick in the ass
Oh, and just the brutal truth. I think everyone
and a
should
brutal
have
truth.
votes. And that's my podcasts are, that's something that you can't ever come here and get a feel good, healthy, motivational talk. Like I think the truth goes a long way and it really serves people. Get over yourself.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Do you want to hear the truth, or do you want me to tell you how wonderful everything is and lie to you? And,
Exactly.
one person that I and I know it's controversial, that I admire is Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
You know, and I've, you know, watched some of his coaching sessions. He's very, you know, very, very compassionate, but there are times where I've seen him really go hardcore on
Yes.
people. And some people are really put off by that. And I get it, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is what an effective coach does.
Yes.
You know, it's not about call you out
Yeah.
on what's holding you back.
Exactly.
So, and that's where I think, you know, why I fit well with a lot of he's like, there are times where you have to just be called out on. And it may not be fun, you know, initially while we're going through it. Even the people that have called me out on a lot of stuff growing up, you know, I look back at it when I was young and I didn't appreciate, maybe I not may not have appreciated it at first.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this person being mean, I need to go away from them. But I'm like, they weren't wrong, number one. Maybe their method of delivery could have been
A little softer.
slightly more tactful, but however, they weren't wrong and they had their best interests at heart and their advice was spot on. So I think a lot of times we have to be willing to that. And one thing I found, especially with some actors and performers, and even people in general, is they're too sensitive to criticism. And that's where I kind of think where that toxic self-esteem, toxic positivity will backfire. Because I've seen, you know, there's many actors that are like, you know, give it to me, tell me what I'm doing wrong. I need to hear about it. And then others that when you insult them, not insult them, but tell them, okay, this performance wasn't that good. Here's, or
Oh,
I wouldn't
good
say it that way.
words.
I would say,
Yeah.
here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I would get a lot of people would look at me like with their eyes would get really big. You know, like, how dare you?
Yeah.
I mean, they would say that, but that would be the look. Like, how dare you say that? Because I used to, you know, I don't do it anymore, but I used to sometimes guest instruct in an acting class. Where actors would perform scenes. I'm not an acting teacher, but I would give them critique as an agent and say, okay, this is where it needs to be improved. And most of them, I would say 80% of the time were appreciated. But there are also some that would just kind of look at me and say, you know, how dare you? And they would never come back. And I'm like, you have to get over yourself because, and that's another thing. I also believe that's a self-sabotaging factor too. When you're not open to feedback, constructive feedback like that. Because again, we all have to grow. Our first, you know, just like with podcasts, your first couple podcasts, maybe first even couple dozen of episodes, aren't going to be that perfect. And you're going to get suggestions and maybe it may, you know, have to be revising an approach or changing something up. And we're, of course, we don't like that, you know, but at the same time, we have to keep doing it.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you stay where you are, that's where you're always going to be. And the whole point of even stepping into being a creative, even stepping into what your potential is going to be that growth. And it's unlimited. You know, what would you say? We're coming up on our time here, Albert. What would you say to the person listening right now who knows that they're playing small?
I would say number one, just get off your ass and do something and start small. I mean, I'm not asking you to go, you know, drastic, but start with small actions. Like if you run and write that document, write a couple of paragraphs at a time. Don't overthink it. Write everything out first. And that was one of the things that really helped me write my book. Was I and I adopted this from other authors who have, you know, written several books have told me, write first, edit later. So just do it. You know, just start doing things, taking some actions, taking micro actions. If you did one or two micro actions each day for the next year, you'd be leap years ahead of where you are now. So one or two small things a day.
I love that. Just for fun, I have to ask, since you work with them, what is the most stereotypical actor behavior that you've ever witnessed?
The sensitivity, hypersensitivity to feedback, the
Diva.
hypersensitivity to criticism.
I
You know, like
love
that,
it.
you know, like almost like oh, me, what me? I don't get that a lot. I mean, that is stereotypical, but I've seen it, you know, where it's enough to be stereotypical.
That's great. Where can my audience find you if they want to follow you? How can they get resource? Where can they find your book?
Sure, you can find it on Amazon. It's called Rise Above the Script, Confronting Self-Doubt and Mastering Self-Sabotage for Performing Artists. You can also find me on LinkedIn and as well as all socials, and go to my website, albertbramanti.com.
Perfect. Albert, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand the performers and the creators, it's that you understand people at their core. You have seen how fear and rejection and insecurity and identity kind of shape what people are doing with their gifts and their talent. And instead of just helping them get roles, you're helping them stop sabotaging themselves. You're helping people become emotionally capable of handling that life that they actually want. I think that's powerful. I think it makes you special. And to everyone listening, your gifts are real. But so are your fears. And eventually you have to decide whether you're going to protect yourself or you're going to show the hell up. Because God did not give you purpose just to spend your life hiding from visibility. He gave you those gifts to use them. So I'm saying today, get honest with yourself, be courageous, be willing to be visible. And please remember that your message is your message. Even the rejection, even the self-doubt, even the fear of actually being seen, that is where the growth happens. If this episode spoke to you, please help me share this out so that Dr. Albert Bramante can get in touch with the people who need to hear his message, okay? Share this with someone that you think needs it. It's a very selfless act. And as always, if you guys are ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Dr. Bramante, thank you so much. This was a
Thank
great
you.
conversation. How
I
much fun
really
today.
like being in a hot seat. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.